This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You're listening to the New Evangelicals Podcast. Welcome to the New Evangelicals Talks. I'm Tim, the host of this segment. Join us every Monday as we talk to all different kinds of people at the intersection of theology, politics, and culture, helping you navigate a better path forward in your faith. All right. Well, I don't know. We just launched this whole new format, you know, TNE Talks, TNE Responds, TNE Recaps. And now we're going to have two of my friends on the TNE Talks part and see where the heck this conversation goes. So Janice and Ashley, great to have you both on the pod. I know. I mean, Janice, Ashley, have you been on the pod before?
I've never been blessed.
We were supposed to, but something.
And again.
Yeah. We'll leave that. We'll just leave that between us.
But who did that?
Oh my gosh!
But Janice became my girl from that situation. So I'll take it.
I am the great connector, even if it's through some really sus means. You know, like you can't get that mad at me because we're all friends because of that situation. Audience, there was a time when Janice, Ashley, and some other guests were supposed to do a podcast together. And long story short, one of them wasn't able to do it at the last minute and left all of us kind of waiting. And then it just became a mess. So that's what we're talking about here. But anyway, it's good to have both of you on. Good to be talking to both of you. This is going to be, I have no idea where this conversation is going to go or what it's going to sound like, because the stuff we all talk about offline is pretty intense and I think necessary, to be clear. And I'm just kind of curious how we're going to navigate this for a public dialogue. So I don't know.
Grand opening, grand closing.
TNE talks, TNE shuts up. Well, why don't we just have some brief introductions, because the audience is walking into three friends talking. Janice, why don't you go first? Just give us a brief introduction to yourself.
Okay, so I am Janice Legata. God has not given on Instagram and round and about. That's enough.
Okay. Ashley?
I'm Ashley. Couldn't tell you my Instagram name. Not an info. Happy to be here with my friends.
Unashamedly Ashley is your Instagram name.
It's spelled different.
Yeah, there's a couple of E's in there. Yeah, well, I'm Tim. I run a podcast. That's what I do, in case anyone wants to know, you know, just so we're all on the same page. That's what I do. Anyway, it's good to, I don't know where to start. I think we should start with how we all met each other. That's a great place to start. Yep. Right? Because I've been thinking about this, Janice. You started your Instagram account, I think, the October of December of 2020, I think is what you told me, like only 1 or 2 months before I started TNE. And you and I, we found each other pretty quickly. But I forgot how we got like friendly, because I know for a lot of reasons, you know, it doesn't really always work like that on social media. How did we connect initially? Do you remember?
I don't. And I want to say, just knowing who I am and how I am and knowing who you are and how you were, it was probably some kind of reprimand or probably some kind of, hey, why? Because I remember you were like in the midst of like having conversations and like deciding whether or not to keep having conversations with certain people. And there was someone who you were kind of like, you know, oh, well, I know that several people of color have warned me against this person. But when I talk to him, he's sweet as pie.
We're talking about, I'm going to name drop this person. Can I name drop this person? Are you cool with that? Should I not? I won't name drop them.
Really not for our safety. Because like,
you're right. You're right.
Yeah. This is the thing where when they deal with you and when they talk to you, it's one thing, but yeah. it's just not. That's not drama I want on my plate.
That right is now. As the words came out of my mouth, I thought this is not good for you're right, for your safety. But you're right. There is someone that in the beginning came across as a good faith actor that I later found out was quite the opposite. These people are now one of the very few who I will not even shake their hands in public. And I met one of them in public. I did not shake their hand because I just have so little respect for who they are and how they operate for a myriad of reasons. So yes, you're probably right, Janice. That was probably how we initially connected was me getting reprimanded and warned by you and me saying, I don't get it. Everything's fine on my end. I'm going to keep going. And then having to eat shit a few weeks later and come back crawling saying, you know, Janice, you were actually right. I should have listened and I didn't. So that, I mean, I'm not sure if that's the true story how I first connected, but we'll go with that and say that tracks.
Absolutely tracks. And then I don't know, because then I remember, and then there was a completely separate incident where there's somebody else who was kind of in the community who was like mad at me for being friends with you and was like kind of like trying to draw lines and be like, well, if you're going to be friends with me, you can't be friends with him. And I remember being like, well, I know Tim. We're not friends, but like, if you're going to give me an ultimatum, I'm going to automatically pick him if I have to pick somebody because why are we having this conversation? So I don't know. So it was just like, oh, like I'm wary of this white man because he's a white man in this space and he's doing some stuff I don't agree with, but he seems sincere. He seems nice. He's setting up this org. He's doing this stuff that is very different. So I don't know. I'm going to keep hanging around. Let him keep hanging around and we'll see what happens. Yeah, and then we'll honestly, how we got here to this, I really don't know. I do not know.
Okay. Well, there's more to unpack for there in that story that we're definitely going to get to. Ashley, I'm thinking about the first time you and I really talked. I think it was a similar story, to be honest with you.
It absolutely was. But for me, it was those stupid lives. We were just talking to randos. And I was like, what the hell are you doing? What is happening on these damn lives? And we talked on Instagram, like, call.
Yeah, we did.
And I was like, let me tell you why this is a hot mess, my guy. It's a hot mess. Like, what are you doing?
Well, I think the audience has to know. So I'm not sure how many people have listened to our podcast more recently or since the beginning. We've definitely have been on a journey. I have been on a journey, no doubt about that. And one of the things early on Instagram that I was doing when we kind of first, I guess, blew up with a lot of followers was I would do these Instagram lives and just let anyone join. Now,
anyone.
Well, so I think, and Ashley, tell me if this is the story. This is how I remember it. I remember that I did one live talking about, this was when Passion Conference was happening in the middle of the pandemic. And I did a live and someone hopped on that I invited on to talk about their perspective of it. And it was just not a good, like, it wasn't a good conversation. It just was very uncomfortable. And the person was saying things and it was just a very awkward, like, public conversation to have. And then that's when you kind of gave me the talk, I think, right? Of like, my guy. Like we got to tone it on this live garbage. Like it's problematic. Is that right? Isn't that where that kind of what happened initially? Okay.
Yes. I was like, look, because agreed. My whole thing was like, Tim seems so sincere and so sweet. And I was like, my sweet, sweet dummy, stop having these damn lives with these randos who just be spouting nonsense. Cause you can't, once it's open, you can't put it back in.
No, you're right. You're right. And so I think we have to call it the obvious. I have two friends of mine at the time, more acquaintances, black women who were doing emotional labor for me, trying to help me. And I'm like, hey, thanks for your advice. I'll take it into consideration anyway. Right. And so what do I do? Big old dummy white man over here. I do another live where I accidentally platformed a guy who apologized or tried to minimize Hitler.
Absolutely. That was that live. Like, I'm like, wow. Probably should have just listened to me. I don't know. Like, I told you.
I know you were in the live. And when this guy was like, hey, I'm not excusing what the Nazis did, when he said that, and I, yeah, but, and I see, and I'm thinking, Ashley's in this live. Ashley, my stomach dropped so far. It dropped out of my butthole. Like, it just, it was just, I was like, oh my God. Oh, I'm going to get a text. You know what? Let me just message Ashley right away and get ahead of this, because I know I am in for a bruising after what I just did. And it's true. That was the last live with bringing on guests I ever did, ever. I was like, no more of these impromptu randos. Just join the chat and let's see what happens after someone tried to like not excuse, but also simultaneously excuse what Nazis have done.
I think he was like, I've read Mein Kampf and I think that Hitler was a good leader. And you were like, no.
I was like,
we're gonna get off the call.
It was horrible. It was horrible. I never saved the live. So anyway, that's how we all became friends. That's our origin story. And throughout the years, we've all kept in touch. We became closer. And most recently, we went out to Portland, Oregon together. And we went to the content warning event, which we'll get into. And we had an Airbnb together. I got to meet your wife, Ashley. And we had, Britt was there from, she used to run the Do Better Church account. We had a grand old time. That Airbnb. And then Savannah, who we also found to love, joined us and hung out with us for a while as well. So we had a great time. But yes, friends, I mean, if you want to know how we became friends, through a lot of pain and suffering on my part and a lot of humiliation.
Oh, wait,
sorry. Sorry.
On our part.
Yeah, you're right.
You, the pain and suffering.
I got my words confused. A lot of pain and suffering on your part. A lot of humiliation on my part. And having to eat a lot of crow of like, why am I not listening?
Not humiliation, learning. You have learned a lot.
I have learned. I have learned. I have learned a lot. And there is still, as we know, more to learn sometimes. So, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. I'm not excusing what Hitler did, but Jesus, what was I thinking? Okay. This is going to be a fascinating conversation because Ashley, you're someone who, like, you're not really primarily a content creator. You have another job that you do. You know, for you, content isn't like a big deal. Is that fair to say?
Not a big deal.
Okay. Janice, I would say definitely are a content creator. And you, I mean, because you're an artist no matter what. Like, whether you're in the deconstruction evangelical space or not, you're making content, you're making music, you're a writer. Like, you do a lot of stuff and do it really well. So you and I kind of have a similar overlap of, like, we've both felt the pull of like social media, making videos that we think should do great, and then they totally tank, and all the annoyances of that stuff. And I'm kind of looking forward to what we're going to talk about with an audience listening, because I don't think that people always get a behind the scenes understanding of like some of the temptations as people trying to do this content thing. And also, we're going to talk about this space and some of the, what's a good word? Obstacles, hindrances, problems that we could potentially be seeing and how we navigate them. Is that fair to say?
Pitfalls. Pitfalls.
Pitfalls.
Okay.
Pitfalls.
Pitfalls. Pitfalls. Pitfalls. Does that work? Cool. I'm going to tee this up for the audience really quick. I'm going to go into my podcaster mode. Audience, hello. Welcome to the New Evangelicals podcast. So good of you to be here with us. So here's what we're going to do.
What is that?
I don't know. I'm nervous. I like being with you guys. It's great. But now I'm on a hot mic. So the stuff I say is getting recorded. You know, it's like a whole different kind of conversation. So we went to this event called Content Warning. Megan, who runs the Twitter account, X account, her name is The Pursuing Life. And then some other folks put together this event in Portland, Oregon. They really framed it as like having conversations about what gender, sex, sexuality, those kinds of conversations with people who were primarily, you know, in BIPOC and queer spaces. They were the ones that really centered at this conversation, right? So you had all kinds of people from all different walks of life who were doing all kinds of work. And they had some other amazing panels too. They had one on patriarchy. I mean, it was great. Really, for me, wow, just really good stuff. And there was a panel that was done, and then Ashley asked a question to the panel. So we're going to play the question that Ashley asked, and then we're going to talk about it from our vantage point, and we'll see where it goes. All right. I'll take that as we're good to go. Here we go. Here's the clip.
Ashley, she, her. Here's my question. In our space, most of the people who are doing the following are women. And most of the people who are being followed, highest followership, tend to be men. And I can see a lot of threads of the old guard of evangelicalism. And I've touched on this a little bit yesterday of like white men come in this space and they're like the hottest shit, but it's not just white men. And so how are we, all of us, but specifically you, how do we ensure that the same things that were perpetuated in the church, so like financial exploitation, we've seen predators in our space, sexual predators in our space. And so like, how are we ensuring we're not perpetuating the same things? And how specifically are we ensuring that like, as the people that we are friends with in this space, as they are doing these things, how do we ensure that we are not just sweeping it under the rug because we love them? How are we like actually holding people accountable and not like decimating their character, but saying like, you actually can't be in this space and exploit vulnerable women who have so much trauma. You can't come into this space and be predators. Like, how do we like, as our space, like dismantle that patriarchy that very much exists? And you can't say like things like content warning because we're all here. Like, you have to come up with something new.
You want me to play the response or should I just cut it over to us now?
I mean, I feel like you already cut over to us, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I can edit that. I can edit this part out if I wanted to. I mean, they don't really answer it. It goes kind of back and forth to like, you try.
And then the least problematic person in this space.
I do think the question you asked, we have to have the hard conversations, right? And you said something in that question that made me think to myself, oh, crap, this is how it could start, where spaces become really unhealthy because people want to protect each other and sweep things under the rug, right? Because which all of us very loudly critique evangelicalism in that culture for doing that, right? And then you start having friends and start doing things that are kind of sus, and then you feel the tension all of a sudden of what other people feel when their friends are sus. But because we're not in those spaces, it's easy for us to yell at them. But when it's in our space, it's like, well, I don't want to lose the friendship. So I think like this whole conversation of just the notion that a lot of times white men grow very quickly on social media and a lot of women follow those accounts is something to talk about. The accountability piece is something to talk about. And then also I have like some other just thoughts on this idea in general, because I think it's really weird because we're on this online world, right? Like we're not like networked officially. We're just kind of occupying space and someone's followers could follow some other people, but they might not. And how does that work? So I guess we'll start off with this. Like, let's start out with in the beginning. Ashley, when you were asking this question, what was it that prompted it, like the overall, like, you know, idea of the question? Was it something that you've been seeing online recently? Is it more of a trend since the beginning of this whole deconstruction space that we found ourselves in? What was it for you?
I think what prompted that, as someone, I always try to tell my friends, I'm like the weirdest adjacent non-content creator person. Like, if this video comes out, you can see the quality of my video versus your video. Like, I'm just so adjacent. But being adjacent, I just see things differently than someone who's just following. And so for me, what prompted that is I get the privilege of being friends with a lot of kind of big name people in the deconstruction space with a lot of followers. I hang out with them. I talk with them. I'm on panels with them. I'm in a very weird, unique situation. And I think that something that Janice and I talk about a lot is just the silence in our space. And it's people in the deconstruction space who feel kind of icky about certain things. I think something that people in large feel icky about is people come into this space, they immediately become spiritual coaches after being pastors, which is the same thing in my opinion. And because it's our friends, we don't call it out. But if someone else does it, we call it out. And so I think I've just been seeing kind of some of these discrepancies of some bad actors or not even bad actors. That's not even fair. People that I'm like, And I feel like when I say, huh, it very quickly becomes like, I know this person, they're great. I'm friends with this person, they're wonderful. Don't rock the boat. Don't say anything. And something I promised myself coming from the evangelical church and in my deconstruction is I will never be silenced again when something feels not right. Like I, to my dying breath, will be a hot gossip. And a petty hot gossip. Because I think a large part of why so many of us got hurt in the church was the silence, was that we protected the leaders. And I think whether we like it or not, there are leaders in this space. And I care enough about the deconstruction space that I'm not going to pretend like I'm not worried or questioning or even thinking people are bad actors. I'm not going to pretend like it's not a thing. And I had this realization at Content Warning of so many people up there are connected. And if one of them was exploiting people financially, was a predator, there have been predators that people have been warned about in this space. Like, are the people that are on that stage, including me, going to say something, or are we going to do what the evangelical church taught us, and that's to be silent?
What do you think about this, Janice? Thoughts?
I think Ashley is dead wrong. I think this space is perfect. We have no problems.
None. How dare you? You're so divisive, Ashley. You're so negative.
No, Ashley is right on. And I, coming at it from some, so we've got like a good range here because we got the adjacent, we've got like the mid-tier because I'm not a top platform by any means. And, you know, there are lots of reasons for that, which could also be part of this conversation. And then we've got you, Tim, and we've got a good range here, too, because we've got all these different perspectives and all of us, the three of us, you know, pull each other up and are like, hey, well, and just give each other different perspectives. And 98% of the time, Ashley and I are correct, and you, Tim, are dead wrong. But you are part of this crew, and we love you, and we keep you around. Like I told you the other day, like not just for the pleasure of your company, but because like we need you, and there is work that only you can do. And I think, yeah, like we all just see things very different and see it from very different perspectives. And I think all together we have a pretty good view of the situation. Mm-hmm. And like I said, most of the time we are correct in our assessment, but
yeah,
your perspective helps me like more than, you know, I think about why would Tim do this? Or why does Tim think about things like this? Mm. Or why does this thing that Tim said bother me? And it's never anything to me. Like I'll hear you because I listen to your podcast and I'll hear you say other things. And I'm like, oh, why does this? But like you for me, Tim, are like my safe, not my safe white man, but like my safe. Yeah, I guess. But like it's easy for me to hear things that you say. And if another white man said it, I would be more upset because I would be like, ah, oh, but because it's you and I know you're good and I know you're my friend and I know you're trying. And I know you're doing better. So I'm like, oh, okay. This is just the perspective. This is how it affects me. But like, it helps to have a friend. Like it helps to have that empathy. And I think the problem is sometimes we have that empathy too much for the wrong people. Like it's the same problem, right? Like, oh, this is my friend and I don't want to say something. I don't want to, you know, be mean. But I think sometimes we give that to people who aren't actually our friends. Maybe that's part of the conversation. Like, I would say I'm a nice person, so I don't play nice. Like, and I don't, there are things that part of my thing that I left in evangelicalism, I'm not going to pretend to like people that I don't.
Mm.
Like, I'm just not. And like, you know, and Tim, you and I have that tension, have had that conversation where I'm like, I don't have to be friends with everyone. Mm-hmm. I don't, it's not necessary. And like, I don't want to reconcile with everybody because life is too short and I've used up all my credits for we're on the same team and we have to get along. No, we don't anymore. So yeah, I don't know. I could go on, but I'll end there. So Tim, what do you think? It's gonna be wrong. Let us know.
Oh well, thanks for asking. I really appreciate that. You know, there have been moments. First off, it's even hard. Even when we say even when we use language, this space, I'm like, what are we actually talking about here? You know, because like it's Instagram, it's TikTok. It's like what it is it's these creators that all kind of pop up in our feeds that people will share. I'm not sure about you, but I get it all the time. Oh, check out this video from this person or whatever it is. And so it's like some of these creators are in this space that I'm in. I've never even talked to them before, right? Like one good example is the account Eve Was Framed. Her and I have never spoken. Now she's cool. You know, I think she's great. Like whatever. You know, I think she's doing great work for her audience. But like I'm in the same space as her because people will tag me and her and other accounts whenever it's like, oh, looking for good deconstruction accounts. At you know, and so that there's that. And then there's like the relational space, right? There's the space of like who we're actually relationally connected to, whether it's podcasts or legitimate friendships, or I ran into you at an event and we hit it off. And so even that has been like a struggle for me because I'm with both of you where there have been moments where I'm like, this feels like we're just putting lipstick on the same evangelical pig. We're just calling it ex-evangelical or we're calling it progressive. It feels a little sus, right? And I say that often that we can do that. But also, none of these things are churches. They are usually sole proprietor people who post content to their platform. And then for whatever reason, the algorithm or people gravitate towards that platform, hit follow. And then all of a sudden, they become this thing, sometimes even overnight, right? I mean, we grew very quickly as TNE. Other accounts have grown even quicker. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, a new player has arrived. And they didn't do anything besides just started sharing their thoughts online and then kablooey. So it's like, even for me, it's hard to get a mental picture around the space besides like those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also I see problematic things sometimes and I'm like, okay. Like I do like Joshua Harris is a great example, right? I mean, he's an easy example, but it's a good example of he deconstructs, right? He apologizes for his books that have harmed so many people, especially women. And I know that because I hear from them all the time whenever we talk about purity culture. And then he tries to monetize like the deconstruction experience by becoming a coach and certifying things and like having this like, you know, back end system. And on one hand, I get the we all got to eat thing. On the other hand, it's like, dude, you kind of help build what so many of us are trying to heal from. And whether you realize it or not, this feels equally as exploitative for trying to monetize people's pain and suffering that maybe in part your book caused that many years ago for now their healing journey, right? And so those moments to me, especially that kind of monetization of like people's harm or hurt, that feels really yucky because I tell people that when I went through my crisis, I had serious anxiety and panic attacks, just broadly speaking, a couple of years ago. I was desperate. I would pay anyone for anything to get help. And when people are in that space, they are ripe to be taken advantage of. And sometimes I feel like, I'm not saying intentionally, I'm not saying I've met someone who's like, oh, I'm in this space just so I can exploit people. But it seems like sometimes when I hear, join this cohort, join this thing, join this Zoom group. It's only $45 or $100 or $2,000. I'm like, ugh, it just kind of feels a little yuck to me.
I think for me, it is we all, especially those that were not in places of power, I think we have both harmed and we have been harmed, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that being a follower in these churches, like, I think depression was higher for a lot of us. I think our propensity to be abused and to be abusive were higher in these places. I think the church sets up a perfect storm of abuse and we're participants and we have it done to us. And I think that everyone who leaves these spaces needs healing. They need to do their own work aside from doing work with anyone else. And then if you want to become a coach, I'm like, live your life. I think where I find difficulty is if anyone tells me that they were a pastor in this space, you undoubtedly caused harm. undoubtedly. Like, maybe, Tim, we have different personalities. Maybe, Tim, you were not causing harm to people because you are the nicest man in the world and I'm a bitch on my best day, right? Like, so maybe we're not causing harm in the same way. But to me, like, a pastor, especially a white, cis, straight man in these spaces as a pastor, undoubtedly caused harm. And while I think the system harms us all, mm-hmm. you are getting the least amount of harm in these spaces. You just are. And so for someone to come from that space and immediately start monetizing is wild to me. There is no world in which I feel like that is coming from a healthy place. I personally think that is coming from, I think pastors are grifters. And so you've had this grift your whole life. It's the only grift you know how to do. And you don't actually know how to get a real job. And so you immediately go into the online space and your new grift is spiritual coach. And I don't mean shade to people, because I know a lot of lovely people in this space who were pastors and now are spiritual coaches.
Yep.
And I think, in my opinion, there's variations of how healthy I think those people are personally. But I just think that we can have a culture shift. We already have the ones that we have. It is what it is. But I think we can actually say, like, moving forward as followers, we are going to be more thoughtful about who we're following, who we're giving our money to, and not just platforming the first pastor who comes in because we're excited that they deconstructed. Because did they really? Or are they bringing those old values into this new space?
Well, there's also the temptation, right, of just being a content creator when you blow up, which is, you know, I mean, me and Savannah have talked about this, like, and Janice, you and I have talked about this. And I've been very honest with the people who follow me on Instagram that content creation does sound like a lot of fun until it becomes your livelihood to a degree. Obviously, we're donation-based, but still, like, I think about it, and they're kind of one of the same sometimes. And then, like, you start making things and they start tanking, or they do really well. You have like this high, high, low, low kind of thing. And honestly, that messes with your head. Like, you do start thinking differently about the work that you're making, because you feel like to be in people's minds, you have to keep making content all the time. And if that content is really poorly, you just feel completely worthless. I'm not saying that feeling is steeped in a reality of anything. Because the reality is I scroll through accounts all the time. I don't think twice about those creators. Right? I see them once, they're in my head and out. It is what it is. But when you're on this side of the screen, it can so quickly, like, just become this monster that you have to feed all the time, that's attached to your own feeling of self-worth, right? And that's just real talk. I mean, that's just real talk as someone who makes a lot of content most of my day, whether it's YouTube or podcasts or Instagram. You can get real addicted to numbers again. You know, you can get real into the megachurch mindset where you're not building some massive in-person gathering. You're trying to build this massive online space and trying to have millions of views. So you feel like, you know, whether you're relevant or you're making a change. And that can be very dangerous. Like, if you're not careful and you're not aware of that draw.
Yeah. Yeah. It's dangerous. Like, it's not, it can be, like, it just is. Like, none of this is natural, right? Like, I just do not believe, whatever you believe about God, I do not believe that he was like, I'm putting you on the earth and your job is going to be to get a million views a day. Like, that's what's going to bring you pleasure. That's what, like, it's just not. But this is the system that we live in. This is where we're at. And none of us, you know, my big thing in this space in deconstruction, I'm like, we came out of evangelicalism, most of us. We came out of white evangelicalism, most of us. And none of us have seen platforms done well, like, for the most part. Like, so we don't even, we've never seen this. We don't know what we're doing. We literally do not know what we're doing. And so we're learning as we go. And, like, when you're not conscious of it, you're going to repeat what you know. You just are. That's just what's going to happen. And so, like, we've come out of this system that is so, that did so highly elevate and value particular voices. And even for me, like, coming out, I think there is a space for there is a space for white men. And I think I don't blame anyone who first comes out. Like when I first came out, some of the first podcasts that I listened to were like almost heretical and Dirty Rotten Church Kids.
Yep.
And it's like, for me, it was like, oh, here are white men thinking thoughts that I've thought. And because I am so used to white men being the voices that know the way, that are the bosses and whatever, for me, there was a time where I needed that to be like, oh, like they're validating this. And now I can go on and, you know, go forward and whatever. So I understand that. I understand people coming out and being hungry for that. But with both Almost Heretical and Dirty Rotten Church Kids, neither one of them were charging money for anything. Neither one of them were, you know, let me coach you. Because I honestly, I don't know what would have happened had that been the offer at that time when I was in that space. Like, right. I don't know. And even now seeing some of the people who are rising up and some of these things that are happening is like weird because it's like this space, but there are also generations in this space. And so it's like a lot of people when the Josh Harris thing happened, like that got shut down pretty quickly because that generation of this community was like, no. And
no,
now to
you.
See it repeating again, but it's like, it's this new generation. And so like, I get upset because I'm like, oh, like you just came into this space. You're monetizing immediately. And so you're grifting off of, you're victimizing people who are fresh and who don't know that you can get this for free. Like there are plenty of other people who have walked this path, including other white men, but because of the algorithm and, you know, whatever, a thousand other things that we don't know and can't name, right? This is who's in front of you and this is what you're seeing. And so I get upset with the people who are like, you, whether you mean to or not, you're taking advantage and you're causing, you're just repeating the old patterns. And the more we repeat things, like the more this gets entrenched, and then we just keep, it's like, oh, we just keep going around this same mountain. And I don't know how we get out of it, except for doing things like this and having conversations like this and being, you know, being honest again about what it's like to be a content creator and what it's like, you know, Tim, you are way more successful than me in this space, but you and I, like we've had these conversations that we've had a lot of the same feelings and a lot of the same, you know, realizing like, oh, I'm getting too sucked into this. And this is not good for me. I'm not doing this sometimes from a place of health and wellness. Like sometimes it is just algorithm and I've gotta stay in front of people and I need those dopamine hits. I need that feeling. And like you're chasing this thing that you may never catch again.
Mm-hmm.
I also just want to add there, like, first of all, I think if you really want spiritual coaching, go to therapy first and foremost. Like, just go to therapy. Like, if you really are like, I need healing from what I experienced in the church and purity culture, like, there are therapists out there who specialize in this. With that, there are also people in this space who have they have real expertise. They are PhDs. They have master's degrees in like these particular like purity culture, sex education. Like there are people in this space who have actual longevity of careers of supporting this kind of like healing and transformation.
Yep.
And I think it's so dangerous to see someone on the algorithm and say, and they say they have a class and you're like, I'm going to go to this person when you don't know their credentials. You don't know where they even are getting their thought from.
Yep.
And like, I think a lot of us went to churches with pastors who did not have degrees in this. And so they were just giving us their interpretation of what they were reading in the Bible with no expertise. And we're like, you know, I think my therapist a long time ago, I had a therapist that would say people who are abused, it's like blood in the water and like sharks can smell the blood in the water.
Totally.
And so,
totally.
Like a lot of times women who have been in abusive relationships, it's such a danger for them to be in abusive relationships again. And they have to work really hard to not go to the things that they know or have people recognize those signs in them. And it's like a very sad thing, but it's something that we all need to be aware of. And it almost like, and I don't think these people are being intentional, but I think it's almost like blood in the water. Like people are smelling that people want healing and they're monetizing it and they actually have no expertise minus they were a pastor, which that to me is the red flag.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they were a church volunteer, like whatever it could be. They came from church world. And they're like, oh, I can just kind of export this over to what we're doing now. And you're right. I mean, I think about people like Dr. Laura Anderson. There's the Reclamation Collective. There are a lot of people and organizations out there that are structured and have like actual degrees as a psychologist license or a therapist license, you know, to walk people through who are certified to work through religious trauma, et cetera. I think that's just important in general, right? Like a lot of us can kind of spot scams generally on Instagram or on like Facebook where it's like, yeah, that thing, whatever they're selling, it looks pretty sus, you know? And I think it's important that we have the same perspective of like, and like, I want to be clear to everyone that I know of in this space, I know truly no bullshit. I know of no one who's intentionally trying to grift people or trying to exploit. I'm not saying that there are people who are intentionally here trying to get rich off of people's trauma. That's not the point. I do not. Okay. So maybe you do. I do not. And if I did, I would tell people to stay away from them. I'm just going to say that, like, I don't, from my vantage point, the accounts that I follow that I might see some of this stuff from, I'm like, okay, I think that they mean well and think that, hey, I can help people. But they're missing out on the perception and also on the fact that when people are in pain and are really looking for help, they will go to anyone and pay whatever to get that help. And are you actually able to guarantee that what you're giving them is sound and thoughtful advice, right? And so I get concerned sometimes because we have seen, there have been a few accounts in the past, the first generation, so to speak, that were problematic. I mean, Dirty Rotten Church Kids, it's no secret, you know, what happened and how that whole thing blew up. And that's the other issue, I think, is the accountability piece that you were talking about, Ashley, because I have realized that, and this honestly, like, not to toot Tiani's horn, isn't the point, but I knew very early on we had to, if I was going to do anything that was longevity, meaning beyond making Instagram content because I wanted to yell at John MacArthur for being a racist or something, if I wanted to build anything beyond that, I had to build something that had checks and balances in place because we've seen what happens when unaccountable white men get a lot of power. Like, I don't care if you're Elon Musk or I don't care if you're Brian Houston. Like when white men get a lot of power, a lot of bad shit can happen. And so sometimes my concern in this space, right, is like all these folks blew up and they have these massive platforms to get a lot of DMs from a lot of people. And I'm just like, man, dude, like you better be really freaking careful with how you're DMing people, how you're talking to other people, what you're saying to these people, and like just the way you hold yourself behind closed doors, because it can get real unethical real quick if you don't have people in your life who are going to be able to sniff out your shit or have access to your DMs or whatever it's going to be. You know, like it just, I'm just saying, like, I've just seen it happen too many times. And the fact that I've already seen it happen once in this deconstruction space that we occupy is a reminder that just because something is progressive, quote unquote, or deconstructed does not automatically mean it is inherently more safe or that the person you're talking to on the other side of the screen is inherently a safe person that you can trust with intimate parts of your life.
Yeah.
I just think we need nuance in this space, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think a lot about the fact that in our culture, and this is just online, in our culture, we're really quick to want to cancel people when we think that they have done harm or what we deem to be harm, whether currently or in the past. And while I think that there are some people that should never be platformed, Carl Lentz, right? I do think that like people make mistakes and what are they doing today? And are we allowing for redemption? And I think the space, it almost feels like the people who have like tried to do the right thing, change, be different, are punished. And the people who are in the space just being suspect, we protect. We don't want our friends to be canceled. And I think that for me, and the question that I was getting at, which I have, you know, I have answers. I have thoughts that I've thought
of. Of course you do, because you're brilliant.
But for me, it's like, if someone is actively causing harm today, and again, I get weird about people who made mistakes in the past. If you made a mistake 10 years ago and you've never perpetuated that mistake again, I don't know how I feel about someone being platformed. I don't know how I feel about that. I think if someone had a racist tweet in 2007, I just am not going to villainize them in 2024 because they had a long time to learn. They had a long time to change. And so for me, I tend to be wanting to know more. And again, people like Carl Lentz, the reason I don't think they should be platformed is because they seem to continue to make those mistakes. It has bled into 2024. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, I think that there is a nuanced conversation about telling someone, hey, buddy, I love you. We're friends. You can come to all the things. We want you here, and you can't be platformed right now. Like, we're realizing there are questions about this. You haven't really given us good answers that make us feel like we can platform you. And I think that, to your point, Tim, I think there are people in this space I will never interact with. It doesn't matter. I'm not a real influencer. And there are people in this space that I will absolutely be on a stage with. And even for me, opportunities matter a lot more for me, right? Because I am not really in this space. I am super mindful about who I am platforming myself with, because I never want to be aligned with someone that we find out inevitably that they are an abuser, or they're causing harm, or they grifted money. And so for me, I just think that these nuanced conversations are important, and we need to be talking about, when someone perpetuates harm in this space, in this deconstruction space, what does accountability look like? And to me, accountability does not look like kicking the person off the island, but it's saying, you can't actually participate in the island in this way. One of my favorite books, I'll have to find the title, but it's about restorative justice. And it talks about how there's a school in British Columbia, and students don't get in trouble. Like, they never get in trouble. They have circles. When like a friend is harming, they'll like go to their teacher and they'll say, little Billy is hurting me. And then the teacher will actually have a circle with all of the students to tell Billy why Billy is hurting them. Mm-hmm. But I think when people hear in trouble, they think that that doesn't mean that there isn't consequence. There is consequence. It's just not punitive. And so an example of that is little Billy is kicking kids underneath the play structure. So Billy can't be under the play structure until he stops kicking, but he can be anywhere else. He doesn't get recess taken away. He doesn't get brought inside. The only consequence is this very particular way in which you interact with this community. It just can't exist until there's some healing. There's some getting better. And I think that our society and the church, it's abysmal. All of it is punitive. All of it doesn't make sense. And so for me, it's like, how do we have the conversation when someone is a creator who we have relationship with, and a lot of us do have relationship, we say, the way that you're interacting in this space isn't cool, and it can't be like this right now. I even feel this, unpopular opinion, I even feel this way about what happened with Dirty Rotten Church Kids. I think that it was so swift. It was so cut this person off forever. They're the worst thing that they've ever done. And I actually don't think we're the worst things that we've ever done. And I think that people who are on fuck shit can also be met with compassion. And I think when things start to get punitive is when I start to have compassion. And you can disagree. You can absolutely disagree.
Friends, I am so excited to be partnering with Middle Church to promote their event, Freedom Rising, happening April 26th to the 28th, sponsored by the Candler Foundry and happening at Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. This is a three-day conference that you do not want to miss. Find rest, learn how to organize political power, and dream expansively about the world we deserve. And let me tell you, this is a monster speaker lineup with absolute legends, including Dr. Jackie Lewis, Reverend Dr. William Barbara, Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, and Robert P. Jones, the founder of the PRRI Institute, which is the place I get all of my Christian nationalism data. This is going to be a 3-day event full of learning about how to take care of you and your body, how to take action on crucial issues, and how to live into different ways of being in the world. I plan on being there, and I cannot wait to see you there as well. Get your tickets now at freedomrising.org and be part of this transformative experience. That's freedomrising.org, April 26th through the 28th in New York City. I'll see you there. You move the world.
Hi, friends. My name is Josh Scott. I'm the lead pastor of Grace Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Over the last several years, we've witnessed an alarming rise in hate, violence, bigotry, and nationalism here in the U.S. And it's all been fueled by and bound up with this distorted misunderstanding of the teachings of Jesus. These are critical days we're living in. This is literally an all hands on deck kind of moment. We must support the voices that are pushing back on these dehumanizing narratives and working instead for love, compassion, peace, and inclusion. That's why I'm so grateful for the work being done through Project Amplify, because they're doing just that. They are seeking to amplify voices and messages that resist these toxic and harmful narratives and offer a hopeful vision of our future in their place. If you think this work is important too, then we must join together and support it. Click the link below to contribute to this important cause now.
Well, I would say, like, I'm fine. I'm fine with taking some people's platforms away forever, because no one is entitled to a platform. Mm. You're not entitled to a platform. And mm-hmm. especially white men, white, cis, straight men.
I feel so for attacked. Me, oh my God.
For me, if you are going to be on a platform, you have to be above reproach. Mm-hmm. Not perfect, but like, because you're a dime a dozen, honestly. Like, there's another one. We don't, like, we all know what the white man perspective is. We were all raised in evangelicalism to be white men. Like, we've heard from you our entire lives in some cases. The whole thing is slanted toward you. It is for you, by you, about you. Like, there is no white man who is special enough, in my opinion, to overlook anything for the sake of him holding onto his platform. Because for mm-hmm. what? Again, none of us are entitled to a platform. And there's another one of you right behind you. Mm-hmm. So for, like, with white men in particular, I am so fine with taking people's platform away forever. Because you can go do something else. We're not saying you can't be in this space. You can't be here. But like, what is it that makes you think that you have to be on the platform? You mm-hmm. have to be heard from. My mm-hmm. perspective has to be platformed. You have to overlook whatever it is, whatever it was. So if you are a white man and you had a racist tweet in 2007, for me, we don't need, like, and it's, you can be here, but why do I need you on a platform? What are you saying? What are you bringing that is so special, that is so different, that we cannot get it from the other white man who did not have that tweet? Like, mm-hmm. so for me with platform culture, I'm like, a platform is not, it's not an entitlement. We're not taking away your food. We're not taking away your shelter. We're not taking away your life, which is why I don't even like the term cancel culture. Because, like, for real, we're talking about people not having, like, platforms, but like, people are literally getting killed for less. Like, so mm-hmm. like, cancel culture for me, I'm like, it's not a real thing. We're not having real conversations. But yeah, with platforms, I'm fine, because why is that a punishment? Like, why is just being in the space not enough? Like, if I can't speak, then I don't want to be here. Like, mm-hmm. that's a problem. If you have done some fuck shit and you have been deplatformed, you can still be here, but you can't. This is the play structure. You can't be here. And there's no reason for me to give you another chance to kick again, like mm-hmm. in this particular situation. So that's how I am with platform. And I don't think it's punitive. It's just that's a consequence. And some consequences just last longer than others. So that's what I would say. Re that.
I'm like 70% with Janice and 30% with Ashley on this.
I mean, I definitely said we take their platform away. I think what happens in this space is people feel like they can't be in the space at all. That's, yeah. Like, they feel like they lose friends. They feel like, so I'm like more with Janice than I think I'm not. But I think for me, I think what and obviously I don't really believe in cancel culture, but I think something that cancel culture, if it does exist, a byproduct is it is this like ripping away of community. And to me, that is something that is the church. Like the church, when you don't follow the rules the way they want you to follow the rules, and I would say it's even worse because the rules are dumb, but like you never get to have your community ever again. And that makes it scary to admit when you have been wrong or you've caused harm. And so for me, sure, take away someone's profile or platform, but it doesn't mean we take away the relationships that have existed in the space for that person. That's more of what I'm saying.
I agree. I mean, listen, for the record, we can't take anyone's platform away. Like Instagram is not going to ban an account because we're like, we don't like them. They're problematic. Instagram, take their account away. Right. And it really just comes down to individuals either being loud in their comments or hitting the unfollow button or something like that. I mean, even to this day, God is Gray still has like 45,000 followers and she never posts on that account anymore anyway. You know, so like even when all that stuff went down, for those who know, like over, you know, almost 2 years ago now, like her account wasn't taken away from her, right? Like people still have their platforms and we have no power to take away someone's account. I think for me, the way I see some of this stuff is I feel like on the, you know, racist tweet from 20 years ago to now, if that person is like very open and owns that shit of like, hey, just so you know, this is who I was 15 years ago. And it was, I don't know what I was thinking. It was a huge mistake. I had to really own the harm I was causing. And like, man, I am so sorry for that tweet that long ago. But since that point or however long ago, I've had this record of like doing better and trying to go the other way. That's very different from to me than, oh, I buried this and like, oh no, yeah, forgot to mention it to you guys. Like, I used to hold pretty racist views, but hey, now I'm a deconstruction coach, so it's all good, right? Like that's the posture for me makes all the difference. And I agree with both of you. Like, listen, we all cause harm, right? We all have moments where we're gonna harm somebody. We're gonna say something we regret. We're gonna make a mistake. That's happened with me and folks on my board. That's happened with me and my graphic designer. We've had tense conversations where we're both like, yeah, I was kind of grumpy and I'm sorry. But the difference is that one thing, like causing harm, is just part of the human condition and we can repair that. But when there's an ongoing pattern of like narcissism, of just being harsh, of abusive tactics, right? Of exploiting volunteers who might, you know, be working for you. When there's patterns that are consistent, and then when they're brought to your attention, you double down and turn the whole thing on its head that you're the victim of like some unjust persecution complex. For me, that's when I think, you know what? Like you're really not qualified to hold spiritual direction or authority or even advice in the minds of other people, because you're not actually doing the work that you're claiming other people should be doing. And so for listen, I don't know every detail about the Dirty Rotten Church Kids thing. I know enough to where I felt confident saying this person, based on their ongoing behavior after being found out, does not seem trustworthy to me. And so I don't think that they should be in the position of leading others as they navigate harmful fundamentalism, but they're repeating some of the same cycles of unaccountability and owning their shit now in this deconstruction space. Like that for me makes all the difference. And the last thing I'll say, just to your points, is that I agree, Ashley, that is kind of how church culture was. If you were a volunteer, if you were a pastor, it was the opposite extreme, right? Where like you were protected at all costs, you know?
Absolutely.
And I really want to be, and I still don't even know where all these boundaries are and how we, this is all new for so many of us, you know? And even though we have thoughts and opinions, we're not the police of anyone, we can't control anyone, et cetera. I'm still navigating, like, how do we make sure that these so-called leaders of this deconstruction space, people that have large platforms that other folks look up to because maybe they're good communicators or they have experience that's unique or whatever it is. How are those people being very accountable to their audiences and to the other people that they're doing work with? And I think that if someone does not want to put themselves under the accountability of other people that they trust in this space, that to me just gives me a red flag. Like, I am all about the accountability. I'm all about having people in your life who can hit the red button that says you're off, like you're done. We're taking over. You should not be on this platform anymore. My board literally has that power. I'm not a voting member on my board for that specific reason. They could vote at any moment to vote me off the island of my own thing, because I trust them to know when things get potentially so unhealthy, right, that I cannot be doing this anymore. The plan is for that never to happen, but that is always there. And I get a little worried when I see, in particular, to agree with you both, really white men the most, you know. And there's not a ton. There's a decent chunk, and a lot of I've met almost all of them so far. I haven't seen, like, you know, these moments where I'm like, whoa, like red alert, you know, like this person's abusing people. But when I, to your point, Janice, like, I totally agree with you on this strongly, that white men in this space, this ex-evangelical, deacon, whatever the hell you want to call it, need to really be thoughtful. And if they're not decolonizing along with deconstructing, concerns me, right? Like, and I'm not saying it's an overnight process. You both know from our conversations, I'm still a work in progress on that. But like, if you're not thinking about just the racial element of some of this shit and just how the optics can look, and how, even though me as a white man have not been a pastor and I have not harmed people directly in churches like that, I understand that people like me have. And whether I like it or not, I just have to own that and say, I get it. People are going to map that onto me. You have to be aware of that. And then you use that and say, okay, how can that influence the work I'm doing to be an accountable person, and to also learn from people who want to give me the emotional bandwidth to teach me other perspectives that I just cannot see, right? And so I think that's very important for white men in this space who have platforms to be thinking about very consistently.
Because I'm thinking about it right now, and like you, Tim, and I'm like, I wonder, I don't think we would be friends. I don't think we would have the same relationship if you weren't doing like the specific work that you're doing. Because, and I don't like above and below language, but I'll just use it here just for this. But like, if you are a white man, especially if you were a pastor, but even if not, like, you just hold you just have an automatic level of power and of platform that is kind of above everybody else, right? So like, even with like the Josh Harris situation, I would have had no problem with him if he wanted to offer a course to pastors, to editors, to like people in power above him, the people who empowered him to do the harm that he did. If you want to now turn around and do the brave thing, do the hard thing, and fight these battles that we down here can't, mm-hmm. that's your job in this space. And you can have a platform all day long. But as soon as you turn around to the people who you previously had power over, who you were just over, we have an issue. Like, and that to me, I'm like, why do you feel entitled to always be speaking to this particular group of people? Mm. Like Tim, we need you. We need white men in the space to be having the conversations, fighting the fights that we can't, either because we don't want to, because it's not safe, because those people do not see us, do not listen to us, you know. And so I think people come into this space and they're not trying to harm anyone, but they are taking the easy way out, and they are falling back on what they know how to do and talking to crowds that they know how to talk to. And it's like, no, we need you to be doing the work that we can't do. And you need to be turning around and talking to the people that scare mm-hmm. you, the people that had power over you, because that's what we're doing. Like, when I'm speaking to evangelicalism, I'm talking to the things that hurt me, to the people who harmed me, to the systems that were over me. And white men in this space are typically not doing that. Like, they're just kind of floating on this, you know, oh, look at me. Aren't you all happy I'm here? And I'm one of the good guys, because I am an embodiment of the typical villain. And so now congratulate me, because I'm doing this hard thing that most white men aren't doing. And it's like, and it's true, but you're taking the easy way out, because there are battles that you could be fighting here and you're not. You're just turning around and regurgitating things that we already know, and just kind of, like I said, like floating on the people who need that voice for a little while. And like, Tim, you're talking to Christian nationalists and you're dealing with that. And it's still helpful for other people coming out of evangelicalism to see that. Like, we don't, not everyone needs some white man to like validate them. And I think, you know, and I think we fall into these patterns and we don't even realize like that's what we're looking for. And white men don't realize that that's like, I don't even think, like sometimes Tim, I'll be like, how do you not, why are you not seeing that you need to talk to this person? Why do you not understand how important TNE is? Why do you not understand who you are in this space? And I think it's just because part of it is just being white and just being like, oh no, like this is just how the world is. I'm just a regular guy. Like, and this is, you know, like you don't see yourself the way other people see you and how like society sees you. And I think it's easy to, it's not even taking advantage. It's like, you really don't realize just the power that you hold and just the influence that you hold. And some people are just better at receiving the feedback, or like, no, this means more than you think it does. This hurts more than you think it does. This matters more than you think it does. Just by virtue of how our society is set up and just how the structures that we came out of were set up. Like, I don't even think you guys realize how easy things come to you. Like, I think like sometimes I'm like, oh, like these white men, like they're just out here and they're just doing stuff. I wish I had that audacity. And I don't even think it's audacity. I think they're just like, no, this is just how the world works. And, you know, as somebody, you know, offered, well, I could introduce you to this person, you know, whatever. And it's like, you don't even real. I've met this person, but you don't like you think I don't have what you have because I'm not doing what you're doing, but you don't realize we're doing the same thing. People are just reading it differently and reacting to it differently. Like, I think people think they're working harder than others when they're not. And we're all like working the same, but people just don't respond the same. And that's not, it's not on you.
I'm going to push back and say, in your case, you are actually working harder than these people. And not even you're working the same. You have to work harder. And then they treat you like you are not working at all. But continue. I just wanted to,
I would agree.
Keep that in there.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It reminds me kind of when one of the first moments in my, well, not my life, but one of the first moments where I realized like, oh, men and women do get treated differently online was when I was talking to Savannah and first time we ever talked was like over Zoom. And she was like, oh yeah, you know, like being online creator. I'm like, yeah, we get some crazy DMs. She's like, yeah, you know, like when you get all those death threats, ha ha ha. I was like, yeah, wait, no, like I've never gotten a death threat to this day. Let me just, and I'm not asking for one, but let me just say like, I'm
so 3 years get on that right now.
I am 3 years into this work. Last year we reached 20 million people on Instagram. I have never gotten a death threat. I've gotten a few weirdos, you know, you and I should fight kind of thing, but never gotten a death threat. And Savannah was like, oh yeah, I get them. Like, it's not, it's not common, but it's also not uncommon. Yeah. I'm like, really? Really?
And so like little things like that, right? Like, so like Tim, you can be in your DMs and you like, it's safe for you to like have open DMs. And so it's easier for people to have access to you, to talk to you, to feel more connected to you. I can't do that. I could, but like the emotional toll that it takes for me, I don't know what's going to be in there. And so like, I don't always want to subject myself to what am I going to see? What am I going to eat? Like, I don't always have the bandwidth for, and especially as somebody who is not getting paid for this work, like you're opening yourself up to harm for free. And then like to have other people, again, white men turn around and be like, well, this is easy. Just do this. Just, you know, this is how it works. And it's like, no, like you don't understand what a different world you live in. Yeah. And that also is part of the reason why it's ridiculous when you think your perspective is needed. Like, because you're trying to teach us how to live in a world that only exists for you, for a select few.
Do you know when I realized that I could never be a content creator? I posted something about slavery, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember the exact thing I shared. And it got a lot of people responded to it. And people got very racist very fast. And I realized, oh, I'm not someone that like every comment, like bad engagement is good engagement. Like I was like, I'm going to delete all of these and it's going to make the algorithm think that no one is responding to this. And this is where this going viral will die. And I literally gave people a chance. And then if they said something off the wall again, I just deleted. And I probably deleted 200 comments off of this
wow
post that I had. I think it was about Will Smith, actually. And I deleted so many comments. I think it was like the most comments I've ever gotten. And the good comments were like 5 people. And I was like, oh, I can never be a content creator because I will never have my comments open in a way that allows people to say off the wall stuff to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, is it safe to say this is what we call like privilege? This is the difference, right? Like I want to spell it out for the audience because it's like some people I know for a fact, some people who listen are a little more moderate, you know, politically, or they don't understand certain words. Like, what is white privilege? You just heard a good example of what a white privilege situation can look like, right? Where, and as a male as well, like there's that level of it too, where I have realized, again, I've gotten thousands, tens of thousands of DMs from people, including Theo bros. Like I get the bros and I get treated very, I know for a fact, I get treated very differently by some of the same people who message some of my other friends who are not white, straight men. They message them very differently than when they talk to me. And I think there's also something to say too, even about like how the algorithm and how the audience wants certain types of voices and types of looks on their feed for them to follow, right? And we all know, listen, I'm a content creator. I understand the algorithm is notoriously slippery no matter who you are to a degree. I get that. I know plenty of people who are white men who make videos that get nothing, okay? Because their videos look like garbage. All right, I get that. But when you're making quality content, and I told you this, Janice, I'm like, Janice, I don't understand. So many of your videos, first off, you're an amazing writer. Like you write so well. Your videos are hilarious. Like you do so many things so well. It bugs me that follower count wise, not that that's the end of the world, but still it shows something, right? That it boggles my mind, the disparity between my account and your account, because you are just as talented of a content creator, if not more. I think in so many ways, you're way more brilliant when it comes to humor than I ever could be. And like, I see the difference. Like, I just see how things, I see videos of yours. I'm like, this is a great video. Has 100 likes after 2 days. What the hell? This video is freaking hilarious. It should be everywhere, right? And so even those moments for me have like, again, just shaped my understanding of the world from like, right, how I move through the world is not like the standard. It's not the norm for everyone. It just isn't. Even my own wife, she goes to the gym very early. She goes to the gym at like 4:30 in the morning. She's like, yeah, whenever I leave, I always look behind me to see if someone's following me out. Always. I'm like, I never thought about that ever in my life. I am 6'4". You guys, you've met me. I'm a big white beater bro with tattoos, okay? I very rarely feel in fear whenever I'm walking throughout the world. And I'm learning that is not the experience for a lot of people who do not look or talk or think like I do. And that should, you know, that's, I got to reckon with that, frankly, but like that is a thing, no doubt about it.
And that's like big picture, right? And like kind of a general thing. I think like all women can like relate to that wherever. But then like you add on top of that the special things that are like only evangelical. And so let's like, I'm an amazing writer. That's what I do. That's what I was put here to do. That's what I love. That's who I am. But like literally on this very day, like having this stupid interaction where somebody is offering to do me a favor and introduce me to a publisher that I already know and have already met. And so like, I'm thinking about like coming out of evangelicalism, like when I was in the church, there was this whole thing where it's like, you can never put yourself forward, right? Mm. You can never say, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a writer. I want to be whatever. And you have to wait for God to choose you or for a leader or for somebody yeah. else to see you and say, oh, okay, you're it now. Because otherwise you're not humble. You got a problem with pride and, you know, whatever, all those things. All those tapes are still playing in the back of my head, right? Mm. Like I still have an evangelical nervous system, like to quote Ashley, right? Like these things are still here. So to see, again, it's that idea of like people that'll always be the first caveat. Well, I don't even know if you want, do you even want to be a content creator? Do you even want to be a writer? Do you even like, I don't know. And there's like this perception that you're not really going for it. You're not asking for it. You're not saying it. So I don't even know if you really want it. Mm. And it's like, well, that's still the evangelical part of me. But then Tim, you're writing a book. Was that something you asked for or something that someone asked you about?
Someone that chased me down.
Yeah, we know.
After the exactly. third time, there was two others.
Nobody has ever come after me for a book. Mm. Right? And this person who, you know, I'm having this dumbass interaction with today, I'm like, maybe they did sit down and write out a book proposal. I highly doubt it. But like that's what people don't see. Could I do the work and sit down and write out a book proposal? Yeah, I could. Am I going to? No, because that's more work. I already have to work a job and create content and do all this other stuff, right, just to survive. So now here's this extra thing where that now people want me to say, well, what do you want? Here's the 10 steps. This is all you have to do. Knowing that they never actually had to do that. But there's just this idea that you still have to be picked. I can introduce you to my publisher. Oh, so I still have to be chosen. I still have to be seen by one white man to be introduced to another to do this thing that I am blatantly and obviously good at.
Yes.
But I don't have the numbers. I'm not like, I don't have the platform size that says, oh, like this is a safe bet. And so like all of this stuff is like this self-fulfilling prophecy and the circle that just keeps going. And so the same kind of voices keep getting platformed because the same kind of voices keep getting platformed and they keep getting the numbers. And so then, oh, well, then they're a safe bet. So we'll give them a book. So now their voice is out here more. And now this is what people are used to hearing again. Yeah. And this is what sells. So this is what you have to do. And so it's like, it's just this cycle and people just don't see it.
And I think, Janice, for me, being on the outside watching you, first of all, probably Janice's number one fan, could tell you all day how Tim shut the hell up.
Number one? Okay, number bro, one. We're going to fight for could that tell, spot.
Could tell you that. All day how brilliant I think Janice is. And I think something that I see in this space
yeah.
is, and I think this is like a part of the accountability for me. What I see in this space is a white creator can come in, whether man, woman, can come into this space. Immediately, they're given credibility from other content creators in this space. And so often I'll talk to, I feel like I'm in this weird space where a lot of white content creators ask me to like audit their shit racially from like a DEI perspective. I could be a consultant. I'm not. And people like ask me to like audit their stuff or talk them through like why something they did. This is why I'm in this space. Why something they did like didn't sit well with people of color. And I think what I find interesting is oftentimes when I'm having these conversations with people or the dumbass conversation that Janice had today, so many of these people are like, Janice is brilliant. Janice is the smartest person in our space. Janice is an amazing writer. I would say across the board, I often hear, and I feel like there are very few large platforms that also think I should also include Janice. No, what they think is this white bro has X amount of followers. I'm going to include them, even though they don't really have longevity, but it helps my platform. I help their platform. We can be the Avengers of the deconstruction space. And
I'm going to get in trouble now.
I am who I am. Jesus. I am who I am. And I think discount people like Janice, who is in actual factual relationship with these people. I understand if there are content creators that you just don't see. I actually understand that.
Sure. Like, yes, completely get that.
Yeah. If people never thought about me in their content creation, fair. Like that checks out. But I think Janice is like threaded in. People go to Janice for advice. People go to Janice to ask opinions. People talk about how brilliant Janice is. But so often, this is not showed up in a tangible way. And people who have far less talent than Janice are being platformed because they're white and because the algorithm works in a way that they have numbers. And I think that, like, to me, that's accountability piece where, like, am I, not me, because I'm not a content creator, but am I having checks and balances on who I'm platforming, who I'm aligning with? Have I decolonized in a way where I am constantly thinking about the underdog, especially if I was a pastor who perpetuated harm against those underdogs?
Hey, this is Jared McCrory in Montgomery, Alabama, and I am a TNE donor and so thankful to be able to give a little bit to help make this work possible. I've been listening to the TNE podcast for a few months, and it had become a regular for me with the other great podcasts I listened to help me with my own evolving faith journey, and just have been so thankful for the amazing work that Tim does, for the diversity of voices that he brings onto the podcast that I've just found so helpful for my journey. And I want others to be able to find the same thing. This work is so important and is needed now more than ever in the craziness that we're all living in. So keep it up. Glad to be a small part of the team. I hope others will join in giving so this work can continue. Take care.
Friends, Holy Week is back. Last week, Christians around the world celebrated Holy Week. Today, TNE invites you to join us for Holy Week, a reflection of the uncomfortable holy moments that brought this community together. Like, holy Trump really endorsed his own Bible and is trying to sell it during Holy Week to pay for his legal bills. Our goal is to hit the $15,000 mark in monthly funding for Project Amplify as we create a better way forward in our faith with less holy moments in the process. As you know, 2024 is a big year with a lot at stake, but you can make a difference. If this work has been meaningful to you, will you help us keep it accessible to others like you? You'll be helping to spread a more loving, just, and inclusive narrative that truly loves our neighbor. Set up a monthly gift of $20 or more, or a one-time gift of $40 or more, and share your own holy moment on our donor wall. You'll be entered to win some Holy Week prizes like free TNE merch, a pineapple pizza, plus 7-Eleven blueberry coffee that I will personally order for you myself, and one predestined winner will get to co-host an episode of the TNE Recap podcast with me and April LaJoy. Already a monthly donor and want to enter the Holy giveaways? Increase your current monthly gift by $5 or more and email us your receipt to enter. Donate now at the link in our show notes. God doesn't choose favorites, and neither does TNE. Winners are not divinely inspired and will be drawn at random from all eligible entries after the campaign ends on Saturday, April 6th.
I mean, and also, relationships matter, okay? Like, and you both know, I am hyper-relational. It's gotten me in trouble sometimes, okay? I get it. I know, okay? I get it. I've had Nazi sympathizers on my Instagram lives. I know, okay? But, like, I don't know. And again, I realize that, like, this is all different depending on who we are. I get all that. For me, though, like, if I'm not trying to, like, link arms with people who want to do the fucking work, then what am I doing here? You know, like, if I'm not trying to build the relationships to push the needle forward and to think about, like, who are the people in this space that I just freaking love and want to see do great work and keep being promoted, while also thinking about the bigger picture, just culturally, of, like, how our democracy is on fire. You know, Trump the other freaking day which we covered. Now I get to propose this on Monday. Yeah, which we covered last Friday. All right, on TNE recaps, Trump literally had a moment of silence, and they saluted the January 6 prisoners. Oh, God. They called them hostages. Yeah. Okay, like our democracy is on fire, and white evangelicalism statistically is the biggest driver behind what is Trump. Right, like there are 5 alarm fires going on everywhere, and if we're not building true relationships with people that we want to work with and building coalitions, and we're not reaching, especially as white, anyone, but really white men in this space, if you're not taking the initiative to reach out to people who are not like you in this space and making the effort to say, hey, I'm here, I want to say hello, love the talk, just letting them know that you're here to at least attempt to do the work, you know, like I don't have time for that non-collaborative attitude. I don't care who you are, you know, especially if you want to be this like full-time deconstruction, you know, thing trying to push the needle forward. So I just think that's really important for me. It's like a core value of mine because we don't have a lot of time to waste. And the more I go down the road of learning about white evangelical history, American history, and the more I have friends, you know, in spaces that are not like mine, the more I realize just how absolutely screwed up it all is and how much work not only I still have to do as an individual, but now me who has this platform, how do I use it to really push the needle and not just become another like problematic white progressive? Like, am I allowed to say that? Like, white progressives are not always doing good work, but they're just not. I have real issues sometimes when I see people and I'm like, dude, like I this feels kind of gatekeepy. This feels kind of fundamentalist to me. This feels kind of white still. It just does. And that's one of the reasons why I do not use the term progressive Christian on any of our stuff. You won't find it on our website. You won't find it on our Instagram channel. That word is fine when people want to talk to me about, you know, being a progressive Christian. Okay, I can swallow the word. I get it. But that's not like an identity marker for us, because sometimes that shit hasn't decolonized. That stuff isn't thinking about, you know, how to get beyond our own white savior complex. You know, yeah. Us progressive white men now are going to save poor Janice and Ashley. You know, because look, I'll use my privilege for good by lifting you up. And before you know it, it's like, all right, like white savior, like miss me with that, you know? So I just think that just because something is progressive or deconstructed, I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm just saying it doesn't mean it's automatically, or that platform has automatically put in the work to think deeply about those layers. Because it takes time, right? It takes time to rewire your brain and gain a new perspective when you've just seen yourself everywhere you go. Like, it just takes time to rewire that. And it is what it is.
Well, I think you are incapable of taking accountability if you are not in deep relationship with different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, because, you know, your girl she loves to have these conversations with everyone in this space. And I was telling someone, I was like, hyping Tim up, because Tim, 2 years ago, if you did something that I was like, ugh, I would have to call you and be like, my boy, what are you doing? And 2 years later, when you have done something that you recognize you could have done differently, you actually call us now, because you catch it a lot quicker. Doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Like, mistakes are going to happen, but it means that if you are part of something and you're like, damn, there was no diversity in that, or man, I should have used different voices. I feel like as your friends, a part of our relationship is mutuality. A part of that mutuality is I can tell you when you have missed the bar when it comes to particular things. And I feel like you've come so far in your journey that you now are like, hey guys, tell me if I feel weird about this. Tell me if I should feel weird about this. And then Janice and I are like, yeah, you should feel weird about this. 2 years ago, you would not have had that. You didn't. You did not have it where if something, you were not catching you had not decolonized in a way where you could feel when things felt weird. And to check in with us, it would be, we would call you and then you would be like, damn it. I did. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But now I think it makes sense in a way where you're like getting close to continuing to be like, oh, I'm going to pass on that because of this, or like, have you thought about this person? Or I just feel like it is so clear to me in your journey how decolonizing your faith and what you learned in the church, every day you're closer to a utopia where racism doesn't exist.
Well, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to white saviorate, you know?
And that, here he goes. But it's a journey, and that's so important. I think people get so afraid of making mistakes. Yeah. It's never been, you're going to make mistakes. You have to. Like, as much as we want to learn just by, reading a book or just somebody. Yeah. No, we learn best by mistakes. We learn let me do this. Oh, that didn't work. Let me do it again. Oh, it still didn't work. Right. And that's for everything. There's no skill. Like, you just pick up and you just know how to do. And like, especially when it involves unlearning, and all of this involves unlearning, you are going to make mistakes. And I think people come out and they want to, just be perfect at it on day one. And so even like a video I did the other day, and I'm like, if you realize, all the people you follow, your top 10 followers are all white, like it's all the same. Mm. Do not go now and follow 50 black people, because it's just gonna mess up your algorithm and you're gonna be mad. Like, you can't fix it in a day. You didn't learn it in a day. You can't fix it in a day.
Right.
And so the first thing is like just being aware. Mm-hmm. And like, you can't rush this. I think people just want to come out. They just want to do things perfectly. I just want my platform. And it's dangerous when platforms grow too quickly, I think, because now there's too much at stake.
Yeah.
Like, you've got too much to risk. Mm-hmm. And so you can't learn. You can't make a mistake. You can't. And it's like, but you have to. You have to in this process. You have to be open to being wrong, making mistakes, being reprimanded, and then trying again.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people often, not to sound too evangelical here, but, repentance is a gift so we can repair harm and do better. Like, imagine a world where we couldn't make our wrongs right. It'd be a disaster, right? And I think that, I think this is definitely a human thing, but speaking as a white, passing bro evangelical, there definitely is, because everything is kind of designed for us, it feels weird to be critiqued by other people, right? It's like, ooh, no, like, don't tell me I'm wrong. Like, I don't need you to check me. I can do it myself. I'm a strong, independent man, right? And so, like, there are sometimes, full transparency, I've gotten DMs where someone said something that I just feel like is so petty. Like, it's something where it's like, hey, what you just said is problematic because of like some really like abstract kind of concept, right? And when that happens, it's rare, but when it doesn't, sometimes I kind of feel like that feeling of like, okay, thanks, bye, But I have found that just by responding by saying, hey, thanks for the heads up, I'll definitely do my best maybe to do better, right? And it's true. Like, okay, I just won't use that language. Like, if it really offends someone that much, and if this is true, where it's tied to this racist thing that I didn't know about, even if I think it's abstract and petty, if that is correct, then I got to change and just use different language. And there are plenty of other words to choose from besides maybe that phrase, right? That maybe on the surface isn't problematic at all until you go down into the roots. So I definitely think that we don't like being challenged or having someone tell us like why we think that we're problematic. It kind of rubs up against our egos. But the more I get used to it, the more I'm like, thank you. This is great. I can do better now. But also, I think it is worth noting that both of you, I mean, three of us, we definitely have different views on a lot of things, right? So this isn't like an issue of like, every day I call Ashley and Janice like, hey guys, I think I said these things. And they're like, yeah, you did. Stop saying that shit, you problematic white man, and hang up on me. That's not how it goes. You guys hold space for me in a lot of ways where I know I do things or say some things that you're like, I really wouldn't say it that way. It's not my favorite take. I don't think that's really my thing, but like, whatever. It's a big world. We have different views. There's a difference. Yeah. There's a difference between that and recognizing like, hey, what I just participated in or what I'm thinking about or how I'm approaching this might not be like the best way to handle it when it comes to thinking about, the things that we're talking about here with like, just the problem of like white progressivism, et cetera. And when those conversations happen, right, I feel like the intent from you two is like, hey, heads up, you should be aware of this. And then my responsibility is to be like, well, because we're friends and you and I, we know each other and like we have taken time out of our life to invest, you know, time in each other. I trust that what you're telling me isn't just because you want to like stick it to me and like make me feel like shit, but because you actually care enough to say, hey, like just be aware that you might see it this way, but other people move through the world very differently. And so you might be missing this part of the equation. And it comes out of a place out of love and care, not out of a place of, I just don't like you, so eat shit.
And I think that's actually a really important distinction. I feel like there have been times where you're like, can I get your advice on this? And even Janice and I's opinions about a particular thing are so vastly different. And we're like, you know, I feel like there have been times where I'm like, if you do it, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world, but I think it's dumb. Like, or like, I'm not going to go to that thing because it's not, I am not the audience, but like, do you, bro? And then there are other times where I'm like, hey, if you do lives and it goes off the rails and someone says something that harms me, that's a big deal. Like, right? Like, it's like very, very distinct ways. And I think that because we've cultivated this relationship, we know the difference now. Like, I know in our relationship that sometimes my advice is just, you can do it.
Right.
I will never, right? And vice versa, if we're talking about something and I'm like, I'm going to do this, you can say to me, I wouldn't do it, but, right, I'm far less, Tim, you say, if you're serving at your evangelical church tomorrow, go ahead and do that. And I'm like, fuck that evangelical church, right? Like, and that is not necessarily always the right option or the right choice. And there is room for like doing the thing that you said that you were going to do, right? And I think that sometimes what we miss in being in relationship is that I think people can come away from this conversation and be like, Tim only gets things from Janice and Ashley, and they're like teaching him how to do things. And I feel like so much of my compassion in this space, my ability to see where someone who is white progressive might come from, does come from you. And I think that sometimes it's not always as explicit because you're not going to tell me to have compassion for someone that is potentially harming me. But I think when we are in mutual friendships, and I am not saying for the love of God, do not tomorrow decide you're going to go find some black friends. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Don't do that. But what I'm saying is when you've done the work and then you meet friends who don't look like you, there is this mutuality of everyone kind of making each other better. And I think that, are you going to cry?
No. I'm not. How dare you blow me up like that? How dare you tell people last summer on a FaceTime call I cried? I was so emotional.
I think there's just like this mutuality, and I think that a lot of people in this space, it doesn't have to just look like you. That can look like also who you follow, right? Like that can look like we're obviously in relationship because I slid in Tim's DMs and I said no more. And
you pulled a Gandalf. You shall not pass.
not one more damn life. And I think that, you know, I talked about content warning, and Janice touched on this too, like decolonizing your followership.
Yeah.
And so it also looks like, I think sometimes don't go follow 50 people, but like, think of some people, look at who Tim is following, look at some of your, and like who they are interacting with, and follow those people and start to learn from those people. And it truly will soften you for when you are doing some fuck shit. It'll soften you to be able to hear it because you like learned from people who didn't look like you. And I think that when we're not learning from people who don't look like us, there's so much room for harm.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where we see harm in this space, whether it's women, whether it's queer people, whether it's people of color. We just follow one type of person in this space. We give them all the power. It makes it so they're not accountable because they hold all the power. And then you're not accountable because you're learning from someone who again holds power structures like they did in the evangelical church.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. And I think that one of the things I struggled with in the beginning was like, I was like, man, I don't want to come across as tokenizing. You know, I don't want to like, okay, I have more Black representation on my podcast. So you're Black, you want to come on? Like I was like trying to think about like, how do I navigate like being genuine? And to your point earlier, Janice, I made an intentional effort to be aware of when I was looking for people, thinking about, oh, like who's an expert in theology? Oh, well, Angela Parker would be a great womanist theologian to talk about theology. It wasn't, I need a Black voice on my podcast. Oh, Angela Parker's great. No. It was, she's qualified and an amazing person at what she does. Let's get her on the podcast, right? But it only happens because I had to expand the circles I knew, the authors I listened to, the theologians I found, the people I appreciated, right? And that does take time, but it needs to happen. Like white people, white bros who say they're here to do the work, who want to be a quote unquote ally, which I hate using that language. Like, Jesus, don't ever call yourself an ally. You get assigned that by other people and rent. But like, you know, if you want to do that work, then start being intentional about diversifying the voices you're listening to that are shaping how you understand the world, whether it's theology, politics, culture, et cetera. And then as a fruit of that, you will find yourself being like, oh, I want to talk to these people more and more because they're so fascinating and helpful. And also they're just great freaking humans. And then that's how you develop those relationships and friendships, you know, as opposed to this like tokenization, right? Which I think is kind of the problem with like when our culture gets all about, you know, like certain issues, like, okay, like we have to listen to Black people. So let's just grab anyone and throw them up because they're Black. And it's like, I guess I appreciate the sentiment, but like, you know, I'm like, there's more going on than just my skin color, right? And so I think that's kind of the difference that I've been learning between the tokenization of folks who are not white versus like just being friends with people and thinking, oh, this person would be a great guest to amplify their voice on for their expertise, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Tim, with your style of podcasting in particular, like it would be fine if you were like, oh, because you read books and you like, you actually engage with the authors and the people like you're right. Not bringing people on and then like, oh, I've never, what do you do? Like, right. Like you're right. Having real conversations about stuff. And yeah. So some of it, like this, especially people with podcasts and these platforms, it gets difficult because people are not used to reading. Again, we talked about a lot of people were pastors with no kind of qualifications and, you know, whatever. So they're not used to reading and they're just pulling from their friend groups. So it's automatically going to be, you know, white or whatever. So like, even if you were like, oh, I want to have a Black author on, that would be fine because you're going to read the book. And you're going to like engage with their material and have a discussion. And so like things like that, like don't go follow 50 Black people. You can go buy a Black book. If you have a podcast and you're going to have somebody Black, like engage with their material, get to know whatever and bring them on from that perspective, because you're not going to have a Black friend tomorrow if you don't have one today. Right. Like, but you have to start somewhere, and it can't be you just slide. Like, I mean, there's somebody for everything, right? So there are white people out there who do exist who could slide into somebody Black's DMs today and like pull it off and be like, hey, look, I don't have any Black friends, I want one. How can we make this happen?
Can you follow me back? So I feel like we're actual friends, you know.
like it's possible. There are people who can pull it off. Yeah. But most people can't. And that's okay. The problem is, again, people don't want to take time. Like everybody wants stuff overnight. And they're like, oh, if I'm going to be a leader in this space, well, I have to have Black friends and I have to do that, whatever. Like it's not going to go well. And like we're having this conversation. We're having a good time. We are 4 years down the road now.
Yep.
Like it takes time.
Yeah.
And so it's none of us were here in 2020. We weren't having these conversations. We didn't have these relationships. And none of us were strategic about it, right? Like, at no point did I say, and Tim is going to have a big platform and I need to get on that. So let me go over. Like, it just happened organically because we were in these spaces as who we are, learning what we were learning and figuring it out. So like people have to give themselves time. You have to give yourself permission and room to make mistakes. You have to give yourself time. And if you are trying to rush the process, well, then you need to have a conversation with yourself about why. Like, why are you so keen again to have a platform, to have it right now, to have it be the certain, like, like we just have to be doing that internal work of like, okay, what am I doing here? What am I trying to get out of this? And be honest, because it doesn't do any good if you're lying to yourself or lying to other people, because it's all going to come out eventually. And we've seen things, we've seen platforms rise and fall in these 4 years. It's going to keep happening. Yeah. And it's like, who are the people who are still standing, who are still here? It's the people who are authentic and who are honest and who are trying and making mistakes. And like, we've all got stuff that we were like, ooh, I would not post that today.
I would not. There's several things. I'm like,
right. I'm going to go on and archive that.
Yeah, right. Quickly. What we believe. Oh, yikes. That one was painful. Yeah.
Janice, what's that black guy's name who was at Hillsong? He's getting divorced from his wife, and it's
Sam.
Yeah.
Sam Collier.
Okay. Sam Collier. I want to just highlight the reason it's so important that you just go, don't go follow 50 black people is because people like Sam Collier. Collier exists, and you might be following someone who's a grifter who perpetuates harm. It's like when white progressives love, I'm gonna just call him Frederick Douglass, and if you know, you know. If you follow Frederick Douglass and you love him, you like, I love this black man who might be white, who's sharing about the blacks and black pain, and you just give all your money, and black women are like, maybe this is not the vibes, maybe he's not the vibes, but you can't listen because that's the only black voice that you
are
allow.
You talking about who I think you're talking about?
Yes, I am.
Did that person recently just convert? About? Oh my god! That's what you call him?
Talcum X.
What else do we call him?
All right. Hey, we don't dehumanize on this platform. All right, I'm going to cut you off right there.
That's
right?
Not dehumanizing.
What's not dehumanizing?
Oh, you guys crack. Oh my gosh.
And so I think it's really important when we just follow anyone. We can actually be following people who grift, right? Like, it is actually important that we are mindful of all of the people that we follow, and we don't then swing the pendulum because we never followed a black person before. Like, it's important that we're reading, we're listening to podcasts, we're like doing that work, and then we're engaging with people who don't look like us.
Can I just say something that? I mean, I want to go so far as to say this was, well, maybe it was, I don't know. But like I had this epiphany and I was like, oh my God, this is another part of my own, just, I guess, racism that I have to just get rid of. And it was that I realized like, wait, why am I treating black people as a monolithic people group? Like, oh, I talked to one black person. Now I understand black culture. You know, it's like, wait, I don't think that about like white people. I don't ever think, okay, I met one white person. Now I understand white people. I know that they are quite varied, you know, in everything, in views, in morality, like in everything. So why am I doing that to the black community? Because I talked to a few black friends and now I think somehow I understand, you know, like all the nuance. Like that's not fair or right at all. And so again, like I just wanted to point that out to people out there who might be kind of new to like thinking about these things differently. You can fall into the trap where you think, oh, because I have a friend who's queer, I understand how queer people operate as a whole, or black, whatever it is, insert, you know, group there. And you would never do that to the culture that you're used to being a part of. You would never think, oh, white people do this or do that. Like, you just don't think that way. And so it's important that we realize as we're decolonizing that we don't do that to other people groups that we're, you know, trying to just be friends with and just assume like, oh, I talked to Janice and Ashley, therefore I get it now. You know, that's just not how it really is supposed to work. I just want to call that out.
And we can perpetuate harm too. And if we're doing the wrong thing, it's actually racist not to tell us we're doing the wrong thing, right? It's such a, it's so, I know.
I don't know, Ashley.
Don't be coming for me. But what I'm saying is.
I'll just call Janice. But hey, Janice, it's your shirt. It's your job, okay? Oh my God. I got my own people.
but what I'm saying is it needs to be nuanced in this.
Yeah, I got you.
Like from a Black perspective, you cannot hold me more accountable than you would hold my white counterparts.
Yeah.
But I also, if I'm coming in this space, let's say I'm in this space, I become a spiritual coach. I am like grifting. You can tell I'm a grifter. Like, you should be like, Ashley, you're a grifter. And if I'm like middle fingers up, then you have to say, then you should say, I can't platform Ashley anymore. Right? Like, and if you don't, if the reason that you're continuing to platform me, even though I'm a grifter, is because I am Black, you got to do some real soul searching as to why that is. And you can phone a friend. You can be like Janice, right? You can say, Janice, I don't want to miss the mark on this. Like, I don't want to be too much. I don't want to be too little. What do you think? And then Janice, as someone who kind of looks like me.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. I saw that coming a mile away. My goodness.
Oh my God. You wouldn't have seen that two years ago.
Progress.
Progress. Janice can say, no, I think she's off the rails, right? And so I think it's like when we just will, again, it's that when we follow people indiscriminately for whatever reason, I think sometimes we follow voices because we don't want to seem racist. I think sometimes we follow voices because they're the voices that we have always been told we need to listen to. We all need to like who we're listening to, why we're listening to them. And then if we feel danger, danger, this feels suspect, unfollow.
Yeah.
It's okay to unfollow to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And if someone then you've unfollowed and someone is like I've unfollowed people in this space. I've been asked by creators in this space, why did you unfollow this person? And I'm very honest as to why.
Mm.
And those don't always need to be given to the world of the internet, but they do need to be given to people I care about in this space.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's only been 2 hours. So I expected this because listen, we are in a group chat, right? We talk pretty often. And when we were planning this conversation, I was like, I know we're going to talk for a while. Like, there's just so many layers. And I know this is going to bring us to all kinds of detours because we have a relationship outside of the podcast that allows us to kind of get to these places that I just can't get to with my other guests, right? Because we're actual friends. Like, Janice, you and I have hung out a bunch. We had a great time with Ashley in Portland, although our Target experience was really sus. Maybe for a different time. But yeah, I mean, I would not go back to the Target in Portland, Oregon, just to be clear on that. But, you know, I think that this conversation, I know for a fact, well, I'm learning more and more that this audience is really kind of all over the map in terms of where they exist, if they're deconstructing, if they are mega church pastors, if they're, you know, people who are older or younger. Like, it's really all over the map. And the reason why I wanted to have this conversation publicly is because, A, of course, I think it's good to have some hard talks about the spaces that we tend to occupy on social media, but also hopefully to give the audience, you know, something to think about regarding decolonization, how deconstruction and decolonization need to go hand in hand, what that can look like, right? And some of the pitfalls that people like me can fall into as we go through that space, but also that we are allowed to admit that we're fallen humans. We do bad things, we make mistakes, and that we're able to own that and commit to doing better. You know, like making a mistake, it should not be the end of the world. It should be the end of someone's like career or something. You know, we all have those moments. The question is, what do we do in those moments? Are we trying to be better? Are we trying to see, you know, how the perspective of others who don't look and act like us and you know, have the same genetics as us, you know, regarding our skin color and stuff, how that influences how we move about the world as we navigate this thing called deconstruction. And a lot of us move into more progressive spaces, you know, and I think it's important to kind of call all this out because we don't want to become fundamentalists all over again. You know, we can think, oh, evangelicalism is perfect, no problems, then move into another space and go, oh, look, we found the new perfection. Like, there's no problems here, nothing to think about.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case.
And I think, I mean, a beautiful thing about about our relationships in particular is that we are all in very different places. And like Tim's platform, I could never have Tim's platform. I would never want Tim's platform. I hate the new evangelicals. But like the beauty of this, like this is where I'm like, oh, like we have come so far from evangelicalism because so much of our life was like, no, we have to be with people who believe exactly what we believe. And like we would be, if we still had that, we wouldn't have lasted this long. And we would be having stupid conversations all the time about beliefs and, you know, whatever, and just trying to pull each other up on stuff that does not matter. And like, it matters to you. Like what Tim is doing matters so much to Tim. And it matters to me in the sense that like, oh, I can see the work that he's doing. But like also, you know, he's like, oh, we're trying to find the house outside of the basement or whatever. And I'm like, burn that shit down. I don't care. I don't. Like,
yeah, you're out of the house. You're on the lawn with the Molotov cocktail ready to throw it. You know?
I'm outside waiting for y'all. Come out of that house and see what happens. But it's like I don't know. We just know how to respect each other and to be like, no, I literally love that for you. And it's not for me. And that's okay. And like you will find your people in this space if you give yourself time to become who you are and who you're becoming. Like you will find your people and it won't. Some of you will love only one of us. Mm. Right. and we'll listen to this like with gritted teeth. Cause like, I do not understand how Tim can like them. I do not understand how they could like Tim. I do like we had an incident on the internet last week where it's like, oh, we're talking with someone who's mad at T&E, you know, for something. But it's like, I still like this person. I still like what they have to say. Yep. I wish they would like my friend the way that I do, but they don't. And I understand that. Yeah. And it's okay. Yeah. Like, because we're all doing, hopefully, what we are supposed to be doing in this space. And yeah, that's what I think. If we're just honest, if we're just giving ourselves time, you will find your people. You will find yourself. And we'll just be causing much less harm to each other. But like, it takes time.
Take the next 5 minutes on your Instagram. Audit who you follow, what you're taking in, who you're reading. And just go ahead and slip some people of color, some queer people, people that make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. And if you are in a position of power in this place, in this space, and you are hoping to create relationships with people that don't look like you, again, this is for people who hold power in this space. I think that a lot of times in this space, people pay for graphic designers. They pay for coaches. They pay for various things to make their platforms gold. If you are asking people of color that you're not in relationship with to audit your stuff, to do DEI consulting work, pay them. And then after you pay them, maybe relationship can come.
Yeah. I think that's great. Cool. Well, it was great talking to your friends. I'm sure after this, we'll chat off the air for a bit and then we'll hop in a group chat. And Janice and Ashley, great talking to you on the podcast. Thanks for making time. I appreciate it. Friends, thank you for listening. This is a very different kind of episode, I know, but I think it's a necessary one. Also a fun one. We laughed a lot, okay? We laughed a lot in this episode. So it's great to have friends on the podcast. Talk to y'all later on. Thanks for being here.
Bye.